I want to talk tonight about how God communicates with us, the many varied ways. We are just the most incredibly blessed people in the world because the God of the universe communicates with us. And I want to just share some things, and it's being recorded, so if you want to, you can go back over this later. It'll get posted on the website, and you can take more notes later. But I want to look first at the fact that God loves to communicate with us, that He is love, like Craig said this morning, and love's relational. You can't escape that. It's just the way love is. Love loves to give of itself. And so, of course, God's going to communicate with us because that's what love does. Love bears itself to those it loves. It communicates. You can't get away from that. It must give of itself. It cannot keep to itself. Love giving itself is the basis for God communicating with us. It was true in Eden, and it's true now. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever." And so there's a couple of cool things there. One, all revelation, all of God's communication is invitational. All revelation is invitational. It invites us into relationship with the one who is love. It invites us into deepening, ever ongoing deepening relationship. It invites us into communication, and it invites us into cooperation. And so all revelation will have those aspects to it. There will be something that will invite you to understand more about who God is and more about who you are in Him. There will be deepening intimacy, deepening revelation, and ongoing revelation of Him. There will be an invitation to communicate with Him. "God, what do you mean by this? Tell me some more about. You say you're loving. Can I experience that? God, you said that we're seated with you in heavenly places. And that wasn't, you didn't say in the Bible, after you die, you will be seated with me in heavenly places. You said we are now. So can I experience that?" And you get to have this communication with God, this discussion, where He begins to unfold things about Himself and about His kingdom. And then He invites you to cooperate with releasing His kingdom here on earth. Really, really cool. Sorry, I get really excited about this, so it's just so cool. He's so cool. But the other thing about that verse, it says, "But the things revealed belong to us and our children forever." Revelation is transferable. It's transferable, first of all, from God to you, from you to others, and intergenerationally. That means that the things that you discover about God and you pass on to others leave a legacy in the lives of the generations that follow you. And you might think, "Oh yeah, but it was just a little revelation I had." And you share it with someone else, and you don't know how it's going to impact them. You don't know how they're going to share that revelation with someone else, how they're going to experience the reality of it, and it's going to change their life. And then before you know it, your name might not be written in the Bible because that's already written, but your name will be written in the annals of time and in God's book as one who left a legacy because they allowed God to disciple them and transform them into the image of Christ through the things that they learnt, because he communicated with them. Another general thing. When it comes to hearing God and God communicating with us, going to kill a couple of cows, or that's probably not PC to say, is it? But anyway, no one way of hearing or receiving revelation is better than another. There aren't levels of revelation, because the minute you start talking about levels of revelation, immediately your mind goes, oh, what level am I on? And what do I have to do to get to the next level? And what if I don't get there? Am I condemned to stay here forever? Oh, no. And then we do what Craig talked about this morning, and we compare ourselves with the person next to us who has all these experiences, and we go, well, I'm obviously not a very good Christian, am I? I'm not very mature. I'm not very spiritual, whatever spiritual is. Did you know spiritual is being alive? Your whole life is spiritual, because you're made in the image of God and God is spirit. There is no unspiritual part of your life. Everything about being a human is absolutely spiritual, from playing on the floor with your kids to singing worship to prophesying. It's all spiritual. So there are no levels of revelation. There are levels within revelations. There are deeper understandings that you can gain as you explore a revelation. But the still small voice of God is not less than a trance vision or an open-eyed encounter. Some of the most life-changing experiences I've had with God have been as a result of a picture that was that quick in my head, or a little whisper from God. And I've had some of the other experiences, and I'll share some of them. I've had trance visions. I've had throne room experiences. I've been transported in the spirit to other nations. Things have happened, and they were all cool. But they weren't any better than God whispering to me, Lynn, I love you. Did you know that's the most profound revelation you will ever get? Out of everything that you ever get. Another thing, you can't earn revelation. Revelation is just how God communicates. It's up to him whether he whispers in a still small voice to you, or whether he gives you an open-eyed vision or an experience in the throne room. That's up to him. You can't earn it by being a better Christian or reading your Bible more or praying harder or fasting. You can't dictate to God how he communicates. You can position yourself to receive revelation. You can say, God, I'm open, talk to me. But how he does it is up to him. I can remember several years ago, there was some teaching around that said there were at least 12 levels of revelation. And that the most basic level was the still small voice of God. And the highest level was the out-of-body experience trip to heaven. What do you have to do to earn that? How good do you have to be? How spiritual do you have to be? Or is it simply that God chooses to communicate in a zillion different ways? And we may experience a lot of them, or we may experience fewer of them. But it doesn't make you less of his child or less loved or anything like that. So, okay, let's have a look at why God reveals things to us. Okay, and first point, darling, thank you. First is relationship. God's relational. Therefore, he loves to communicate with us. He shares his heart with his children, with his friends. It's an aspect of discipling us, transforming us. Because we're transformed ultimately by his love, not by how many commands we obey. Obeying commands won't transform you. It's the inner working of Christ in our heart and mind that affects transformation in us. Next one, personal growth and development. He speaks to us like this because he wants to grow us. He wants to transform us into the image of Christ. He wants us to understand who he is, and he wants us to understand who we are in him. One of the biggest things God's speaking about worldwide at the moment is identity. And we can look at that and we can go, yes, I'm a child of God. But what does that actually mean? And who are you personally? Because you are made in the image and likeness of God. And there are things about your life that will reveal God in a way that the person next to you doesn't. And so, what's your personality? What are your skills? What are your abilities? What are your gifts? What are your talents? What's your heart to see God do? So God wants to develop us in our character and in our nature. He wants us to understand how his kingdom works and how we fit into that. And he wants us to become an ambassador. And so he works on our personal growth and development in how he communicates to us. Interestingly enough, and this is, I've heard many other prophets say this, 90% or more of the revelation you receive will be for your personal life and development, not for you to share. Very little will be for you to share with others. Most of it will be about God developing you. Isn't that interesting? You think, gosh, that's an awful lot, 90%. What if you're a prophet? Still the same. You don't share everything you get. You'd be dumb to. I'm not going to tell you how God told me off last week. He didn't actually, but you know. But you know what I mean? So, okay, next one. Gift training. Revelatory gifts come turned on and ready to use. And we have to learn how and when to manage the flow. Our part is to learn how to steward the gift in a mature, wise manner, not letting it be a taskmaster and rule us. And so one of the things that God does in communicating with us, and this is one of the reasons why he does, is he communicates with us so that we'll get trained in how to use the gifts that he gives us. So, for example, I'll use the, it's a prophetic night, we'll use prophetic people. If you're out having a coffee with a mate, and you've made a special time to have coffee with your friend, and you're sitting there, and you're having coffee, and then all of a sudden you start to get words of knowledge about the people at the table next to you, and that table, and that table. If you don't know how to rule your gift rather than having your gift rule you, you won't recognize the purpose of the moment that you are in. In this case, the purpose of the moment is for you to spend time with your friend. But if you let your gift rule you, you'll leave your friend sitting alone at the table and you'll go off all around the cafe and you'll share all the words of knowledge that you're getting and you might have an amazing time using your gift and your friend is left there going, I'm not really that important. Or if you're a spouse. I've seen it happen with evangelists in particular, out on date nights with their spouse. And they get words of knowledge about all these people, and they have to go save them. So we have to learn not to let our gift rule us, but learn how to steward it. Learn when it's a relationship moment. Learn when it's a personal growth moment. Learn when it's a training moment. So part of that training is learning things like learning how to interpret things accurately. You've probably heard that revelation has three main parts: the revelation you receive, the interpretation, and the application. A lot of people get a revelation and go, "Oh, cool, I got this amazing revelation." And you go, "Well, what does it mean?" I don't know. Or they'll give it a surface meaning because they've made an assumption or they've jumped to a conclusion rather than spent time processing it with God to find out what he actually meant by it. And so you've got to learn how to interpret the things that you receive. And then you've got to learn, what do you do with them? Is this for sharing or is this just for prayer? There's a lot more, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. So we've got to learn, part of our training is learning to make wise decisions in regard to the gift, or learning how to process revelation well, and learning to do with it what the Lord shows you. How do I share this? Do I share it? How much do I share? Who do I share it with? When do I share it? How do I share it? Rather than just, oh, I got this cool revelation, can't wait to get on Facebook. There is a glut of revelation shared on Facebook, most of which is personal and should have been kept private and isn't a prophetic word for everyone everywhere. It was a word of God for that person, but they hadn't learned how to process properly or where they should share. And so you get vague, generalized words filling Facebook. God's going to bring breakthrough to your house today. Well, whoopee. Breakthrough in what area? And whose house? Is this a word to solo mums? Or is this a word to people who are in financial difficulty? Or is this a word to people who are suffering mental health issues and anxiety problems? Who's this word for? And is it going to be a sudden breakthrough? Or, like was shared this morning by Grant, is it going to be in the process? Is it going to be the beginning of a breakthrough? And so God wants to train us in how to use our gifts wisely. Interestingly, when it comes to the revelation that we receive, most of it we won't get to share. Next one, assignment. Some revelations have an assignment attached to them, and we need to allow the Lord to lead us in how that assignment is undertaken. And that's discovered by talking things through with the Lord. There's two main types of assignment usually: a prayer assignment, and this is where God shares things with you, but it never gets shared publicly or never gets shared sometimes with anyone at all. And instead, it's shared with you so that you can begin to pray, begin to shift things in the realm of the Spirit, or so that you can go and do something about that. For example, the amount of times I see people going, God's going to bring breakthrough in a certain area, and so I'm going to take that as a prayer assignment, and I'll pray and I'll pray and I'll pray, but I won't go and do anything about it. If we're a hearer of the word but not a doer, then actually what real difference are we making in the world? Because it's easy to hold another prayer meeting. It's easy to have another prayer time and to pray for the homeless people in our city, or to pray for the solo mums, or to do any of that stuff. But what are the things God's actually assigning to you? Are you part of the answer in a very practical way as well as a prayer way? It's something that we need to consider. Another type of assignment is a sharing assignment, where we need to know who we're to share with, how to do that, whether it's spoken word, written word, social media, etc. And again, we find those things out by talking to the Lord about them. I don't know about you guys, but more and more God keeps challenging me on what am I practically doing in my community? And I'm having to look at that. You know, and we can have lovely Sunday services, lovely prophet meetings, but who are you prophesying over during the week? Who are you sharing words of encouragement with? Who are you building up and edifying and strengthening and comforting with a word from God during the week? Maybe it's a lady in the supermarket. Maybe it's someone in a cell group. But if between now and next month you haven't prophesied over somebody, maybe we need to ask some questions. And I know that sounds heavy, but this is a training night, and so I'm going to train you. It's not just about getting a nice word each prophet night, or several prophetic words spoken over you and you getting to do some. It's what are we doing with it after tonight? So let's look now at some of the varied ways that God communicates. And as I go through this list, I want you to tick off in your mind the different ways that God's communicated with you. Because one of the things that I've found over the years is people say to me, I never hear God speak to me. And their expectation is an audible voice or a very loud God-sounding voice inside their head. And they think, well, I've never heard God speak. And yet, so many different ways God communicates with us. So fun. The still small voice of God. That's an internal God thought, where God speaks to our heart and mind. It's an invitation to lean closer. And you'll find an example of that in 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13, where the still small voice of God came. Sometimes God whispers to our heart and mind. And sometimes it can be as simple as one or two words. And if we don't grab hold of it and go, God, is that you? Sometimes we can miss what God's saying. I can remember someone that I know who was preaching one day, and this name popped in their head, Aunt Margaret. And he's like, Satan, go away, I'm preaching, stop distracting me. Two words, Aunt Margaret. And then he thought, what if that was God? So he was preaching, carried on, and in his mind he goes, God, what about Margaret? And And God says to him, she's got a niece with leukemia. So he stops preaching and he says, is there anybody here whose name's Margaret? And two ladies put their hand up. And he says, do either of you have a niece with leukemia? And this lady goes, yes, I do. And he says, come on up, I want to pray for her. And he brought her up the front and he said, do you have her on cell phone? Do you have her phone number in your phone? And she said, yes, I do. He said, ring her up right now. We're going to pray for her. And that girl got healed of leukemia and it was verified by the doctors. And it started with a name just bursting in out of somewhere. Random thought. But he thought, what if that's actually God? What if that's not a spirit of distraction? What if it's actually God? That was the first time that guy ever prayed for someone over the cell phone in a public meeting. And the person got healed. But it started just with a little random thought that popped into his head, little quiet voice. Next one, internally seen pictures and visions. Sometimes God speaks through internally seen pictures and visions. There's a verse in Hebrews, and I can't remember where it is, I'm sorry, but it talks about Moses and how he saw God. And that word saw, this is the bit I do remember, that word saw means to see with open eyes, or to see internally, or to perceive. So God and Moses had encounters different ways. Sometimes Moses saw God with his open eyes or saw the manifestation of God's glory. Other times it was internally. And so I want to give you just a quick heads up here. What's the difference between a picture, a vision, and an experience? A lot of the time when we're talking to people, we say, oh, I had a picture. And then we go on to describe a vision. See, a picture is, okay, say this is a photo. Imagine that's a photo hanging on the wall. It's got no life, got no movement, got no sound. It's a picture. Absolutely still. A vision has life, movement, sound, and usually you're on the outside looking in. In an experience, you're inside the vision functioning within it. You can smell things. You can hear audibly. You can feel the dirt under your feet. I had an encounter like that one time. We were down in Tianao teaching a school. Then all of a sudden, and this is all happening internally, all of a sudden I see myself in Israel, in Jerusalem, in a particular street. And I can smell the smells. And I can feel the uneven street under my feet. And my head is freaking out going, what's happening? Is this real or am I imagining it? Because that's what your rational mind will try to do. It will try and rationalize and work out what's happening to you. And in that encounter, God took me to three different places in Israel. And then several years later, Rob and I got invited to go on a trip to Israel. That was an all-expenses-paid trip. Like, who does that? But this person did. And I got to stand in each of those three places. And everything I saw matched what I saw in the vision. Or in the experience. Because I was there in the spirit before I was there in the natural. But that happened internally. It didn't happen with my eyes open. I had my eyes closed, and it was an internal thing that happened. How can that happen? Because the kingdom of God not just surrounds you, it's within you. So some of the revelation you'll get from God will be internally received. In Ephesians 1:18 to 23, Paul prays that the eyes of your mind or the eyes of your heart, depending on the translation you read, will be enlightened so that you can understand some things. That phrase, eyes of the heart or eyes of the mind in the Greek, means imagination. But your imagination's not from God, is it? Of course it is. I love it. Your imagination's not evil. It's not dirty, unless you put dirt in it. In Christ, your imagination has been sanctified and cleansed and set apart for its original use, to be a place of receiving revelation and a place of dreaming with God of possibilities and ways that the kingdom of heaven can be established in the earth. It's one of your most powerful natural and spiritual faculties, tools, or weapons. It takes what your spirit senses, hears, or sees and brings it into the soul realm so you can see and understand what's happening in the spirit realm. Does that make sense? So your imagination actually catches things. It's a receiver. Like if you tune a radio into the right frequency, you'll pick up all the stuff that's happening. Well, one particular frequency of what's happening. And your imagination was created by God to be a receiver of revelation. It can be used and it can be defiled. You know, it can be used wrongly, can be defiled. It's also the womb of all creativity in your life. It's where every idea and desire is conceived and subsequently brought to fruition, both in your natural and spiritual life. Your imagination is powerful. And I've heard testimony after testimony of people that have been in heavenly experiences where they say, in heaven, you think it and it manifests. You imagine it and it's created. I can remember one day going through a bit of a rough time and going, okay, God, we need to talk. I need a quiet place where I can talk to you. And immediately some words started running through my mind. And so I grabbed a pen and wrote them down and ended up writing about this place that was like a forest glade with a waterfall that tumbled joyfully from the top of a high rock. And it was there that I loved to meet with God. And then that was back early 80s, long time ago. And then about 10 years ago, I said, Holy Spirit, will you take me to a place you like to go to? And immediately in my mind's eye, I saw this place and I thought, oh, that seems familiar. And I said, where's this? And he says, remember you wrote about it? I said, yeah, but that was just my imagination. And he said, oh no, you created it in the spirit when you wrote it. And I'm like, but I'm not God. I can't create things. Have a little think about that one. Have you ever created anything? Can you create maybe more than you thought you could? Possible. Sorry. How are we going? Oh, have to keep going. Okay. Next one. what have we got there? Open-eyed vision. This is simply where your eyes are open and the natural realm disappears and you see into the spiritual realm. First time that happened to me, it freaked me out. I was standing at, Rob and I had been asked many years ago to come and minister at Murray Watkinson's church, way, way, way back. And I'm standing there in the worship, minding my own business, just worshiping God. Then all of a sudden, I hear the sound, and it sounds like a convoy of trucks. And immediately my mind goes, convoy. And then I'm like, no, worshiping. Yeah, sorry, it was a song way back. Those of you that are older will get that one. And it sounded like it was out, this convoy of trucks was out in the parking lot. And then all of a sudden the whole front of the church disappears and I see row upon rows of chariots and angels come and form into rank upon rank upon rank. And that was the sound I'd heard, was the sound of the chariots on the parking lot. And at that stage, I didn't know what to do with things like this. So I just stood there and freaked. Because, like, what do you do with stuff like that? And then after a while, the vision disappeared, and I'm like, well, that was interesting. I didn't know that I could ask God questions at that stage, so I didn't. And it wasn't until years later I went back and asked God, what was that all about? And he said that there, he had been assigning angels to that church and he was about to release them to war on their behalf to see a new area of ministry established. And by then it was too late to tell Murray because they'd already done it, and it was years later. Okay, so next one. Dreams, night visions, night transportations. Sometimes God will speak to us through our dreams. Some of our dreams are not just dreams. Some of them are night visions or night transportations, where you will be taken places in the nighttime while you're asleep, and you'll see yourself ministering to different people in different parts of the world, and you'll wake up and you'll go, wow, that was a weird dream. But maybe it wasn't. Daniel experienced night transportations and night visions that weren't just random dreams, weren't pizza dreams, but were God encounters while he slept. Next one, daydreams. Don't dismiss this part of your life. Again, that same guy that I was telling you about that rang up the lady on the cell phone, was prophesied over him that he would speak to stadiums of people. And at this stage, he'd never even spoken to a home group. But he knew that the Bible said, where God spoke to Timothy through Paul and said, those prophecies that have been spoken over you, take hold of them and war with them. And there's a part of that verse that says, see yourself doing them. That's what the original means. Frame up pictures in your mind. Imagine yourself fulfilling this. So he started to daydream. He'd set aside a period of time each day where he'd sit in his chair and he would begin to imagine, what will it look like when I stand on a platform and I speak to a stadium of people? What will that look like? And he spent time each day imagining. But what he didn't know was that some of those daydreams weren't him making stuff up, but were God giving him foreknowledge of actual situations, until one day he was standing in this stadium that was filled with 20-odd thousand people, and he goes, I know what's going to happen next. I've been here before. That person's going to get saved. That one's going to get healed of this. That one's going to get delivered. Because he had seen it in a daydream. So don't dismiss your daydreams. They're not always just wild imaginings. Hope you're ticking off some of the things, some of the ways God's communicated with you so far. Next one, through writings, through the Bible, stories, articles, research, Facebook posts even. I'm not anti-Facebook. I love Facebook, actually. Sometimes you can read something and God will just communicate with you. We were driving along a highway on our way to minister somewhere in America. And we went past the sign that was on the side of the road. They were doing some roadworks. And it said, fresh oil. Hey, for a Christian, that's an easy talk. You know, like, and I'm like, whoa, God wants to pour out fresh oil where we're going. So God, why do people need oil? What areas of their life have seized up? What oil do they need? Is it healing oil? Is it the balm of Gilead? Is it oil to get slow, creaky joints moving? What sort of oil do you want to pour out? But it was words. Words written on a sign. A friend of mine in America, and this goes in with another one as well, but he's driving home from ministering, and he's aware that his turn off the motorway is about a couple of kilometres ahead. And that next minute, he's like four or five turn offs past that. And he's like, how did I get here? Either I drove totally unconsciously or I just got transported in the spirit. God, is this you or not? Next thing, pulls up beside him, big articulated truck with King's Transport written on the side. And he goes, oh God, I guess it was you after all. I think you're speaking to me. And then he had to get off the motorway and come back and go home. So through writings, through creation is the next one. God speaks to us through creation, doesn't he? So many different ways. Through natural objects or man-made created objects. God speaks to me a lot through objects, through created things. I can walk into a farmer's shop or a Living and Giving or an art gallery, and I can get a prophetic word just about from everything that I see. It's just the way I'm wired. God speaks to me a lot through creation. But then there are times when creation actually speaks to you. And I've heard the sound of the blood in our land as it's cried out. I've had rocks physically speak to me. And you're going right now, okay, I'd like to leave right now. She's weird. I didn't ask for it. God did it. And this rock actually spoke to me. And I could hear it with my physical ears in an audible voice, telling me the story of how it had started on a certain part of the mountain and had found its way down and been rolled smooth in the lake and ended up on the shore. And then God began to tell me about how one day it would become smaller and smaller and smaller as it was ground against other things till it became part of the dust of the land. And he said, Lynn, I'm going to plant you in the land like that. And he began to speak to me about how he had planted me as part of the land and that I was going to be part of the land. And that eventually I would be part of the literal dust of this land. How many of our ancestors are still here. Did you know matter doesn't ever actually go away? It just gets changed from one thing to another. Okay, just freaked you out a bit, didn't I? Sorry. There's so much fun stuff out there. Okay, God speaks to us through people, through preachers and prophets, through children, through stories, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, wise saying. God speaks to us through people. And then he also speaks to us, next one, through the fruit of people's lives. That's another way that he speaks to us. Next, please, he speaks through life lessons, in our trials, in our testings, in our failures. God speaks to us, doesn't he? And all of these are all in scripture as well. I've got scriptures for each one of them. He speaks through our senses, through touch, sight, smell, thermoception. That's your sense that senses fluctuations of temperature. You've got about 20 senses, not just 5, that Aristotle said we had. There's about 20 that you have. And scientists have discovered that we are born with those. You are born being able to sense the passing of time. You don't just know that because you see the shadows move. And some people are acutely aware and can accurately say how much time's passed. So through our senses, don't dismiss feelings. Don't dismiss things like heat in your hands or pain in your body or a sensing of fear in the middle of the night. They can all be ways of God communicating things to you. Pain in a part of your body where you don't normally have pain could be a word of knowledge that someone around you needs healing. Or you can walk into a room, and if you're particularly sensitive and God communicates to you a lot through your senses, you can walk into a room and you can go, "Why do I feel like committing suicide? I was fine 10 minutes ago, but now I just feel bleh. Like I just don't want to be here." And as Christians, often our immediate reaction is, "Devil's attacking me." Maybe it's not. Maybe it's God saying there's somebody here in this room that is in a really down place. If you ask me, I'll show you them and you can save their life. Maybe it's God. Maybe it's not the devil attacking you. Through mysteries, metaphors, symbolism, riddles, and figures of speech. I had a young guy come to me one day. We were doing some activations, and he said, "I didn't get anything in that last activation. I didn't hear God speak to me." I'm like, "Okay, so tell me what was happening for you." "Well, I didn't get anything. I just felt like I was wrapped up in this big cotton wool ball of peace. But I didn't get anything. I didn't hear God say anything." So I just said to him, "You didn't get anything, but you felt like you were wrapped up in a cotton wool ball of peace." "Yeah, that's right, but I didn't get anything. But you felt like you were wrapped up in a cotton wool ball of peace." "Yeah." I said, "How were you expecting God to communicate with you?" "Well, I thought he'd speak to me." "And you think that's not speaking?" I said, "You just experienced the peace of God and you almost missed it. But it's not too late. Let's go there now." I said, "Now just shut your eyes and let God bring that back." And he goes, "Oh." And he got this goofy-ass look on his face, just that melty look. And I just left him there and walked off. And he just had an encounter with God wrapped up in a big cotton wool ball of peace. So sometimes your feelings will communicate things with you, or mysteries, figures of speech. There's lots of metaphors in the Bible, like, I am the door. I am the light of the world, is a metaphor. There's loads of them in the Bible. Mysteries, riddles. Sometimes God won't show you something clearly because he wants you to go on a journey of discovery. He wants to arouse your curiosity. Don't lose your curiosity as a Christian. Another one, through revelatory gifts, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits, words of wisdom, etc. He speaks to us and communicates to us through those. Next one, through angelic visitation. I shared with you about Murray Watkinson's church and what I saw there. I was in a conference in America, and for some reason, my eyes kept looking over toward one certain part of the building. I'm like, there's nothing there. God, why am I keep being drawn to this one particular part of the building? And then in my mind's eye came this thought, there's an angel there. And I'm like, oh, cool. God, what's he look like? And what's he here for? Because if there's an angel there, I want to know what God sent him for. And the more questions I asked, the more God began to fill my mind's eye with a picture. And then a strange thing happened. What was in my mind's eye began to get translated into what I could see in the natural, until I saw this huge as angel that towered up to the ceiling in this ballroom, in this conference. And he was staunch, and he was scary, and his wings were covered with eyes. And it was like, oh, that sort of feeling, that like, oh, you are scary, dude. And every one of those eyes was looking at me. Every eye. And I'm like, what sort of angel is this? Doesn't fit what the Bible says a seraph is. Doesn't fit what it says a cherubim is. God, why are this angel's wings covered with eyes? And God said, because I want you to know that I send my angels to watch over you. And they don't miss a thing. And I don't miss a thing, because I'm the all-seeing, all-knowing one. And they are representing me as they watch over you and guard you. And I'm like, well, what's he here for, though, in this conference? That's fine as in relation to me, but why are you showing me him here now? Because I want people to know that I'm watching over them, that I'm not far distant. Sometimes there'll be visitations from a member of the Trinity. We see that happen in Scripture, and it's happened once for me when I was writing my book, Visions, Visitations, and I was doing an activation called Jesus at Work. And I said, Jesus, will you show me what you're doing in my life right now? And with my open eyes, I see him sitting on my couch, and he's got a pad on his knee, and he's writing. I'm like, what are you writing, Jesus? And he said, I'm writing the inspiration for the other books you'll write. And I freaked out. I'm like, I'm writing my first one and this is hard enough. Sorry, I'm leaving the room. And I left the room and so did Jesus. I freaked out because I didn't know what to do with it. If I'd just taken a moment, Jesus was there in my room. Imagine the conversation I could have had with him. Imagine what I could have asked him. So tell me about these other books. Maybe you've had experiences like that. And you think it was just your imagination. You're having a quiet time. And in your mind's eye, you see yourself walking somewhere with Jesus. And you're having a conversation with him. And you go, oh, that's just my imagination. Maybe it's not. Maybe you had an experience, a visitation in that moment with Jesus. See, because not all visitations are heavy duty, weighty, lay you flat on your face things. I've had people say to me, well, if you weren't flat on your face, absolutely terrified, it probably wasn't God. But that's only one way God turns up. When God turns up as a loving father, he doesn't turn up and terrify you. He doesn't put you flat on your face. He sits you on his knee and he cuddles your clothes and he ruffles your hair. Or he says nice things to you. If he turns up as the shepherd, he'll probably turn up in a discipling mode. Let me pastor you for a minute. And he'll pastor you. But so often we go, oh, that was probably just my imagination. I probably just made that up. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you had a visitation in that moment with one of the Trinity. It's possible. Okay, next one, transvisions. It's where your inside vision functioning in it, not just looking on from the outside, and often your body goes into a state of suspended animation. A famous person who had transvisions was a woman preacher at the beginning of last century, Mariah Woodworth Etter, and it's reported, many of her transvisions were reported in the newspapers at the time, so hundreds of people saw them. There's one particular one where it's reported where she's in the middle of preaching and all of a sudden, and she's like that for 3 days, frozen in place, doesn't go to the toilet, doesn't blink, doesn't move, and people are like, why would God do that? I don't know. But I do know it drew an awful lot of people to that tent. And what started as a small meeting 3 days later had thousands upon thousands of people come to see this woman who's frozen in place. And then comes out of the trance vision that she's been in, carries on preaching, and people get healed and saved and delivered. It happens. Peter had a trance vision on the roof. Trances aren't demonic. Sometimes they're God. The most common form of trance that happens in the church is when you get slain in the spirit and you're down on the ground and you want to get up and you fight to get up. And not one part of you will respond because you're frozen in place. Your body has gone into a state of non-responsiveness as God is there wanting to encounter you. Don't fight it if that happens. Go with it and say, okay, God, here I am. Speak to me. Another way is through signs and wonders. God speaks through signs and wonders. Next one, circumstances and circumstances aligning. God speaks to us sometimes through random circumstances, like the fresh oil sign. Or sometimes he speaks to us through conversation and reasoning with God. And then the last one is through the arts. God speaks to us through painting, sculpture, drama, craftsmanship, dance, music, and song. Hosea talks about that, where it says, where God has appealed to us through parables acted out by the prophets, talking about prophetic drama. So God can speak to us through all sorts of things. So those are some of the different ways that God speaks. So your brain is probably like mush right now, and you're going, actually, I ticked off this and this and this and this. How many of you have ticked off a lot of those? Yeah. And there's more. All we need to know is that God loves to communicate and he wants to communicate with you, and he will do so in a variety of ways. So now we're going to do some activations based on a couple of those things. Let's do the first one. This is going to be a general one. You can't see that very well. That was the biggest I could make that picture, I'm sorry. This is God speaks to us through figures of speech. There's 27 figures of speech in that picture. How about you yell out some at me? Sorry? Kick the bucket. Kick the bucket, yep. What about cat got your tongue? Another one? Sorry, we might need... Time flies, yep, time flies. I didn't hear that, sorry. Okay, sorry. Yep, what else? Silver spoon in your mouth, yep, born with a silver spoon in your mouth. Hit the nail on the head. Well, this one, yeah. It's actually screw loose. That one, you've got to screw loose. But it looks like a nail. Ball and chain? No ball and chain there. Heart on your sleeve, yep. Yep, there's heaps of them. All your eggs in one basket. Brain the size of a walnut. Sorry? You're on the way? Yeah. Rags to riches, yep. You look at the two different parts. His bottom half is all rags. His top half is all riches. Red herring. More holes in Swiss cheese. Spill the beans. Shadow of your former self. Cherry on top of the cake. All your eggs in one basket. There's lots in there. Lots in there. Sometimes God will speak to you through things like that. A phrase will pop into your mind. But it's also good to look at puzzles like this and train yourself to recognize different things. Because then what you do is you begin to build up your ability to interpret the things that you see and the things that you hear. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so let's do the next one. Here's some metaphors of scripture. In this one, we're going to prophesy over each other, so we'll need the lights back on if that's all right, Grant. Thank you, darling. So what I want you to do is find someone to partner up with, and you're going to ask God to give you a word of encouragement based on one of these. Ask God to highlight one of these metaphors to you. Jesus is the light of the world. How does he want to be light in their life at the moment? Etc. Does that make sense to you? Yes, no. They're being very quiet, Ruth. Yes. Choose one of those metaphors and give the person that you partner with a word of encouragement from God based on that metaphor. How God wants to be that in their life. Okay, so find yourself a partner for a minute. That means either get up out of your seat and find a partner or turn to the person next to you. But do not look at me like stunned mullets, please. You can turn to the person next to you. I'll be kind on you. Okay, how are you doing? Have you shared with each other? Anyone need more time? Just slip your hand up. Yeah, okay. I'll give you a couple more minutes. Awesome, okay. We'll draw that one to a close. Okay, we're going to do one more activation. It's not on the on your list, Margaret. We'll leave that one. Just go to the next screen where it's just black. Yeah. I spoke earlier about how we can have angelic encounters, so I want to do an angel activation right now. So we've done this heaps of times in many different places, and every time we do it, actually you can feel, start to feel the presence of the angels already. Sorry, I can. So I've talked about lots of different ways that God communicates with us, through seeing, through internal pictures, through speaking to us, thoughts in our mind, through audible voice, loads of different ways. So you might perceive something, which means that you just know that you know that you know that there's an angel in a particular place. Or you might see it with your open eyes, or you might see internally. Hey, sorry. Hey, so what we're going to do in this activation is I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord a question. Ask him, where in this room is there an angel? Not where are the angels, because there will be so many of them. That if you ask to see them all, you'll get overwhelmed. So just ask them where. Hold on a minute. Will you stop? Okay. Hey. Sorry. He's just poking me in the back. Being a bit naughty. Sometimes angels will be fun, and sometimes they'll be deadly serious. So you're going to ask, Lord, show me where in this room is there an angel. Then I want you to get up out of your seat and go and stand in that spot where God shows you that there's an angel. If it's at one of the two doorways, just go and stand at the side of the stage where I can see you, because I won't be able to see you around the corners. And then I want you to ask God some questions. God, if I can't actually see them, but I just know they're here, tell me what they look like. And ask God what they look like. If you can see them, then take note of what they're wearing. Because sometimes angels turn up, they turn up in task-related clothing, and sometimes they turn up looking quite different to how we think that they would turn up. We had one time when we were just coming back from the States to reestablish ourselves here in New Zealand, and we were standing in our house having a prayer time, Rob and I see this angel walk through our front door. The front door's closed, but that didn't matter. He just walks through, and he's holding a clipboard, and he's wearing army camo gear. And I'm like, what the? Random. And I'm like, God, why is he dressed like that? And God says, he's a quartermaster. He's here to issue the supplies that you need for your ministry as you get established back here in New Zealand. And then I see him start to give orders, and angel after angel comes in and stacks boxes after boxes after boxes against our wall. So sometimes they'll wear task-related clothing to give you a clue of what their purpose is, what God sent them for. And ask them, what are they here for? Sometimes you may be able to speak to them. Ask God if you can. Sometimes you may be skeptical and you may go, oh, yeah, like God's really going to show me where there's an angel. Had one of those in one of our meetings in Auckland. Young guy who had come to the meeting because his mum had forced him to come. Didn't want to be there, 17 years old. Didn't want to be there, was very skeptical about this whole thing. And then I did this activation. He says, like, yeah, God's really going to show me where an angel is. But he just felt that in a certain part of a build of the room, there was an angel. So he went over and stood there. Next thing, he's laying on the floor, rolling around, laughing his head off, creating such a ruckus that I couldn't hear anything. So in my humanity, I said, angel, sit on him. And he goes, well, it made him quiet. So then we could discuss what the angels were here for and what they were doing. And then after a while, I realized that this poor guy is still being sat on by an angel. And I said to him, okay, angel, you better get off him. And he goes, and then he tells how he had come to the meeting skeptical, like God. He said, but I think I believe in angels now. So, okay, some of you will have already know exactly where God's told you to go. So ask him, go and stand there, and then we're going to see where people gather, and then we'll bring a microphone around and we'll talk about it. Because if there's angels here, they're here for a purpose. They're here to do something. So up your hop. And if you feel that the angel is right next to you, stay where you are. First time we did this activation was in a glory school in with Patricia King in the States. And I felt that the angel was I was sitting on the end of a row and he was standing right there. So I didn't get up and go anywhere. And so then everyone else in the room got up and went somewhere. And I was the only person left sitting. So then I felt dumb. So I thought, I'll go and stand where Rob's standing. So I got up out of my seat because Rob was standing down the back, turned into the aisle to go to Rob and walked straight into this angel and got thrown to the floor. And I'm like, oh, I guess you are there then after all. I'll just get up and sit back down in my seat here. So, all right. So, give you a couple more minutes. If you don't get anything, don't panic. Don't think that God doesn't want to speak to you. Sometimes we position ourselves to get revelation and we don't get anything in that moment. That's all right. Okay, so you're in that position. Ask God, if you can see them, take note of what they're wearing. If you can't see them, ask God what they're wearing, why they're wearing it, and what he sent them here for. Shoo. Okay, and I'll give you a minute to hear God on that. It's often interesting how people gather in particular places. And some of you in those groups will have seen different things. Some of you will have seen the same thing. It's all right. Okay. Okay, we'll start with you guys at the back. Any of you three want to share with us what you sensed, felt, saw?
I can't see anything, but I just sense that there's like an angel sitting here behind the drums, and that there's actually going to come, and he's a really powerful, very strong warring angel, and he's going to anoint the people who sit on the drums, and they're going to start to bring a different beat in the worship, and it's going to change the trajectory of the worship, and it's going to actually strike some blows in the spirit realm that are going to break open some powers of darkness, break open deliverance things in the meeting as they are moved in that direction by this angel.
Okay, Kimberly and David, you take note of that? All you musicians? Okay, grab hold of that, because it's not just for the drummers. Oh. It's for all the musos and singers. Expect new sound, new anointing, breakthrough sounds that bring deliverance, etc. Either of you guys want to add to that?
Yeah, same thing. I can't see anything, but I felt God say the Joseph colored top jacket and for anointing, and that's all I got.
No, cool. Awesome. Thank you. Whoops. There's a step here. Christine, do you want to share?
Yes, I don't actually see, but I definitely feel him. And I just see that he's not dressed in blue, but he is blue. And he's to do with the airways. He is guarding the airways, and that the sound that comes out is clear and precise and like a very clear bell. And he just basically is here the whole time.
Looking after the airways and the sounds that come out, because you're right in front of the speakers here. Yeah. Would you like to share, darling?
Well, yeah. I don't see.
That's all right.
But there's an angel here, and he's